I'm Frank Vaughn. It is February 7th, 2025, and I want to start out today by talking about my jewelry. My ring, this was my father's. I've never really bought any jewelry. This ring was my father's, too. But this chain is what I want to talk about. This was my best friend in high school. He died 3 years ago of an overdose. Burned half his house down while he was at it. Left behind a terrible legacy, to be completely honest. This is one of my most precious possessions. So this issue is personal to me. Let's go to user comments to start out. The Viking Carnivore says, "You have been able to do this for quite a few years now." He's speaking, of course, yesterday's video where I showed that you can buy all kinds of hard drugs online with ease, with your credit cards, securely packaged and sent to you via Canada Post. "You've been able to do this since before Bitcoin, eh? Nothing new." It's true, but people don't know about it. And there's a lot of apathy suggesting that cocaine and mail order fentanyl is just something we have to live with. I'm shocked, as a matter of fact, by how much apathy there actually is. "Yep, an acquaintance tried to order ivermectin during COVID and was issued a letter saying that it was seized," which highlights a really good point. It's interesting that there's a whole market in ivermectin bots. This is one of them that I had to block today. There's more ivermectin bots than there are mushroom and hard drug bots that have latched onto yesterday's video. I think it's really interesting that that video has attracted so many bots trying to shill products, and mainly that it's ivermectin. But I digress. Ivermectin is harder to get in this country than cocaine, methamphetamine, and fentanyl. Imagine that. After yesterday's video, I heard from a number of Canada Post employees who told me some rather disturbing things. I'm not going to repeat here because I can't substantiate them. But Marshmallow, who I'm assuming is one of them, his post is public. "We sell scent safe bags, for crying out loud. We also offer MoneyGrams. Do a FinTrack on Canada Post." It would be very interesting to learn how much Canada Post knows about the parcels that are filled with cocaine and fentanyl and meth that they're shipping all over Canada. Wouldn't it be interesting? The ScentSafe bags are just an attempt to capitalize on a thriving illegal market in marijuana. Now, I'm not saying I got a problem with marijuana. What I'm telling you is the legal market that the Canadian government set up has failed to eliminate the black market. It has eliminated mom and pop from the black market, but it has enabled massive cartel control, and they can sell far cheaper than government-regulated stores. One could even argue that the regime the government set up was designed to eliminate competition from the black market for the cartels, because it seems to have handed them a monopoly on the majority of the supply. "My uncle's stepson ordered opioids online from outside the country. He is from a small community in Newfoundland. He is no longer with us. He overdosed. The problem is real. These stories, sad to say, are dime a dozen. They're all over my comments section. And those who say, oh, this is nothing new, you're shrugging your shoulders at an epidemic that is absolutely undermining Canada in every conceivable way. It's destroying us. One last one. "Maybe try importing cheese and you will get the full force of the law." It's not just importation of cheese. Try making cheese. Try making your own cheese and selling it. You will be fined hundreds of thousands of dollars. You will have the full weight of the law come down on you. It is very illegal to make and market your own cheese unless you pay quota fees, which buys you into another cartel. Canada loves cartels. We have a cartel in dairy. We have a cartel in maple syrup. We regulate everything. Is it any surprise that we love cartels in the black market? This from Michelle Ferrari. She is a sitting conservative MP in Ottawa. "Approximately 1.5 kilograms of suspected fentanyl seized. It takes just 2 milligrams to kill somebody. This is enough to kill 750,000 people. Michelle represents the riding of Peterborough and some surrounding areas, the city of Peterborough. And I watched with my own eyes while I lived in Ontario. Peterborough turned from a bit of a rough town into a drug-infested hellhole under the woke mind virus, this idea that junkies should be enabled by safe supply, by needle exchange programs, that they're just people like everybody else and there should be no stigma. 750,000 is a multiple of the entire population of Peterborough. This is just what they caught. How much more is sitting there in Peterborough? And while this is all going on, the website that I showed you yesterday here's your reviews of how wonderful the cocaine is coming in the mail. Very nice. Awesome. Whatever. You can go on YouTube. You can. It's not just your street dealer. This is now being done in plain sight by every means of delivery possible. Now, I've talked about money laundering and the scale of crime as a percentage of GDP. There's other money laundering going on. It's called official money laundering. Those hundreds of millions and billions of dollars that you're sending over to Ukraine, a lot of it is getting laundered and rinsed and put into people's pockets. And I'm sure there's kickbacks involved somewhere in the chain. One of the greatest money launderers in Canada, I would argue, is Global Affairs Canada. And all of these things, community approach to gender equitable education, gender responsive systems, millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm not going to get into this. Their website went down yesterday. Everybody's talking about it. Let me know in the comments if you've heard of Global Affairs Canada and this listing. I imagine all of you have. So I'm not going to focus on this. What I am going to focus on is the size of government in Canada. I've told you how a conservative estimate of drug crime and money laundering alone is somewhere in the neighborhood of $250 billion, 12% of our GDP of $2.2 trillion. That's a conservative estimate. Some have said you shouldn't have added the drug trafficking numbers to the money laundering numbers, and they're right. But at the same time, I'm not accounting for population growth, as those numbers were from 2007. So everything's only increased since then. So $250 billion remains a conservative estimate. Now, what about the size of government? Measuring the size of government in Canada. If we consider total government spending, government in Canada is 44% of GDP. And a more accurate way, by including tax expenditures and price regulation, the size increases to 64% of GDP. Three ways government controls the economy. Tax expenditures are 10%. Total spending is 44%. Price regulation is 10%. This breaks it all down. If you combine, you get an estimate that 64% of the $2.2 trillion GDP comes from government somehow. How much of that do you think is laundering? Considering the things that I've showed you, considering the case that I've built in all the videos I've been doing, please take the time to watch them all. I hope you can catch up because there's a lot in there. If the Canadian government, if government itself, the provincial governments, all the layers of government are responsible for two-thirds, nearly, of all economic activity in Canada, and drugs and money laundering directly are responsible for another 10 to 12%, that is three-quarters of our GDP is derived from illegality, immorality, absolute frippery, and the robbery of the other 25% who are actually producing things and paying taxes. So this idea that Canada is this nice, happy, friendly country of peacekeepers. I don't even know if people talk about Canada as peacekeepers anymore, because Bill Blair has come out and said there's no way that we can deploy 10,000 troops to the border. He doesn't know what Trudeau is talking about. When the deadline the Americans have set with us expires, we're going to be empty-handed back at the table, and pain is going to be the price we pay. All the things I said in my previous videos about starting to entertain conversations with the Americans to at least see what kind of a deal they could give us to put pressure on Ottawa to fix all of this is really the only path forward. I'm not sure anybody's willing to take it. I don't even know if anybody wants to talk about it. Canada's in a bad state. We are a corrupt narco state where the government accounts for the majority of the economic activity. That's, by another word, the definition of communism. And those numbers in that study, that comes from the McDonald Laurier Institute. I mean, you can sink your teeth into it. It's a nice, pretty graphic, but there's a lot of detail that goes into that graphic. This from the National Post, Dr. Sharon Koivu. Safe supply has only worsened the addiction crisis in London, Ontario. This is kind of a snapshot, the micro level. Published June 10th, 2024. Since the program started in 2016, patient deaths and infections have only shot up, and prescriptions have been diverted to the streets. So, we've known already for a long time for all those politicians, the David Ebbies of the world, the people in BC, Justin Trudeau, everybody that acts surprised when they find out that there's licenses issued to produce cocaine here in Canada, or there's licenses to distribute, or that safe supply, so-called safe supply, has been diverted to the black market. Everyone that acts surprised, they're just lying. They're either in on it or, well, they're in on it. They're in on it. I have been practicing physician in Ontario for 39 years, the last 16 of which have been in London. I have served in many capacities, including having a family practice and working as an acting medical officer of health. Since 2012, I have worked in addiction medicine. I feel compelled to speak out about the harm safe supply is causing my community. London is home to Canada's first safe supply program that started at London Inner Community Health Center in 2016. It was in part a response to a public health emergency of tricuspid valve endocarditis, HIV, and hepatitis C related to the injection of hydromorphone capsules. It's gotten so much worse since then. The goal was to provide high-risk sex workers using sex workers. What a immoral, banal, basic society we've become. The meme of the person living out behind the hydro tower with their Astroglide, it's not a meme. It's a reality in the back alleys of every single city in this country. I don't even want to read anymore. I mean, you're going to get the point anyway. It is old news that safe supply is a failure, and we only expand it. We only enable cartelism. We only enable the streets to just get filled with more and more violent junkies. They're not innocent little victims. The majority of them will rob you blind in spite of the fact that they can get cheap, high-grade drugs. They still need more. They still want more. They always want more because a junkie is primarily a selfish individual. They put themselves ahead of their families. They put themselves ahead of their friends. They steal or they guilt trip people into lending them all their money. They drain their parents' savings account and they never look back with regret. Every single one of them will justify themselves the same way. I was talking with a guy on Twitter yesterday. He was saying, the world is terrible. Everything's going to hell. So why can't we medicate? And he goes on to spell out the same story you'll hear from every addict's mouth, that they have to medicate so that they can deal with the world they're living in. They're a font of excuses. They're weak. They're apathetic. They're pathetic. Now, that's one half of the coin. The other half is the state that has enabled this situation to flower and flourish. The people who put money in their pockets off the backs of the junkie who doesn't have the courage to walk away. And any junkie watching this, or any user watching this, you have a choice to make. You can stop anytime you want. You can just say no. It's as easy as that. Anybody who talks about physical addiction or all these other things, go through it. Stop being a coward. Stop being weak. Take control of your life. Build a better world. If these problems are endemic, stop being part of the problem and start being part of the solution. The headline is, professor, former public health officer, launch company to produce legal heroin for treatment. Dr. Perry Kendall, BCCSU. This is from 2020. Heroin, fentanyl, methamphetamine. They're big business for anybody that can get in there. And they talk and they dress themselves up in helping addicts. Listen to this junk. Long before fentanyl transformed the illicit drug market, researchers in Vancouver embarked on a study that would open the door in Canada to a new form of treatment for opioid addiction. The study found that for the small number of people who did not benefit from common oral medications such as methadone, injectable pharmaceutical-grade heroin was safe and effective. Participants stabilized on a regular opioid reduced illicit drug use and criminal activity, improving their physical and mental health. This stands in stark contrast to the article we just read. This is about business. These people are in the business of destroying addicts. Their ideas have been in play since 2016, as we just seen, since 2020, as we're just seeing now. And what has happened to your streets? What is the evidence of your eyes? What is the evidence I've been spelling out in all of these videos? Canada's a narco state, and there's a lot of people who are rushing for licenses to take advantage of it. There have been those who have suggested in the comment section that I'm attacking all police, and I'm suggesting that the entirety of the RCMP, down to the front line, is somehow corrupt. Nothing could be further from the truth. Any good cop, and the majority of them are good cops, their hands are tied. They do their job. They make the arrests, and then the court system turns people loose. I talked about that in yesterday's video. This is just the latest video of Mountie pelting vehicle, which fled check stop with bullets, shown in court. Now, the interesting thing here, the headline does not tell you right out the gate that this officer was fired upon several times before he returned fire. That should be the primary thing the headline focuses on, but they want you to know, not me, that the cops are bad guys, so they subtly include it. The officer was shot at, and so he returned fire. The guy didn't even die. He got injured. And the debate around this is whether the Mountie used excessive force. These guys are in a bad way. They do their job, and they're under attack by the media. They're under attack by the politicians. They're under attack by the people that they're trying to arrest, and they're under attack by the courts who refuse to put criminals in jail. And while your cities are filled with addicts, while your cities are filled with crime, while your government takes 2/3 of the national expenditure and spends it however it wants on patronage appointments and foreign programs and sending it to Ukraine and money laundering operations that are hidden in plain sight, what are you being told by the media, which says that criminals, over and over again, you see it in the media, criminals are the victims and the police are the ones that need to be policed. Diversity now a factor in basically all university hires. They talk about equality, they talk about equity, but everything in this country is down to race now. You are judged on your skin color before you do anything, and what privileges you get from society are decided by how much skin pigment you have. They have amplified racism. They have made racism part of the national architecture way more than it was 20 years ago, and they do it in the name of fighting racism. Everything they do, every area of life, is doublespeak. What they say, their actions do the opposite, and they're counting on the Canadian people to remain asleep and stupid, to not be able to put these things together. They want you in your bubble. They want you watching your sports ball. They want you drinking. They want you doing your drugs. They want you distracted constantly. They want you occupied. They want you at work. They want you to be a tax slave. Well, they can do what they do best, rob you blind and destroy and undermine you for forces that are far more evil than even they are. This from CTV. NCAA changes transgender policy to limit women's competition to athletes assigned female at birth. The headline would be much shorter if it just said the NCAA changes policy to stop men from participating in women's sports. They can't even say the word men. They're just men. This is so infuriating. You're not assigned female at birth. You are female at birth, if that's how you were born. You're a man at birth, because that's how you were born. This is medically illiterate. This is biologically illiterate. Our media, which is funded by the government to the tune of millions and millions of dollars, and also, ironically, the Americans are subsidizing our efforts to subsidize our own media, but that's a story for another day. They can't even use the word men. There's only two sexes, folks. Male, female, that's it. You're not assigned it at birth. You are it at birth. This is just more Orwellian doublespeak delusion. Nothing is real that these people are trying to promote. It has been a busy stretch these last 2.5 weeks. I've kind of burnt myself out doing all of these various types of research. I think the problem with Canada should be really clear to people. It's total. We're not talking small issues. We're talking, even if we can turn back the tide, even if we can somehow satisfy the Americans and do enforcement up here, even if we can start obeying the law, even if we can clean up our streets, we're structurally broken via Confederation. The provinces aren't treated fairly, many of them. The people in this country, all over the place, even in the provinces that win the most, you're not treated fairly. You don't have say. You don't have protection. You exist solely to be value extracted by the state. You have no real say. You have no real power. And you can get those things. But you have to realize, as a starting platform, that the Canada you love, the Canada that you think exists in your mind, is long gone. And now we are a den of thieves and liars and money launderers and drug pushers and people who want your kids to believe they can change sexes as easily as their clothes. They want to bring freaks into public schools. Recently read about it happening in Regina again. A pregnant man. No such thing. There's no pregnant men anywhere in nature. There's no pregnant men in biological reality. It's just a freak with a baby in its belly who is very confused about their own identity. And they bring it into a public school to show your kids. It, from top to bottom, society has lost its mind. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.